Yesterday, I went to London for the day. I went to see the play Shadowlands about the life of C.S. Lewis, which was starring Hugh Bonneville as Lewis and Maggie Siff as Joy Davidman. As I'm sure you know, C.S. Lewis is most famous for writing the Chronicles of Narnia. He was an Oxford don and author, an atheist who converted to Christianity, and who became an influential theologian. Shadowlands is the story of how, late on in life, Lewis opens his heart to love and relationship when he gets to know Joy Davidman, an intelligent and straight-speaking American who cuts through all his defences with her wit and her charm, and who challenges his long-held beliefs. Shadowlands tells the story of how, being surprised by Joy, his life was transformed. He said, "I didn't start living until I met you." And then tells the story of the grief and the anguish he experienced when she died of bone cancer not long after they were married. Today we begin Holy Week with palm crosses in our hands and praise on our lips. We remember the crowds who shouted, "Hosanna," as Jesus entered Jerusalem. We also know where this week leads. The same voices crying, "Hosanna," will soon cry, "Crucify him." Palm Sunday holds together both glory and suffering, both welcome and rejection. And the Passion narrative we've just heard read invites us to consider and appreciate Jesus' suffering and death for our sakes. We may be filled with a sense of gratitude. We may admire Jesus for his self-sacrificial love. But the invitation of Matthew is more than that. And for it to make a real difference in our lives, our appreciation, our gratitude, our admiration must translate into following Jesus' example in the way that we live our lives. In considering the events of Holy Week, we are brought face to face with the heart of the Gospel, the trial, the suffering, and the death of Jesus. This is not only something Jesus does for us, it is also something that shows us how to live. His life, his death, and his resurrection form a pattern, a way of living, a path that we are invited to walk. As our reading from Philippians exhorts us, let the same mind be in us as was in Christ Jesus. So let's think for a few moments about this pattern in our lives. First of all, it's a pattern of humility and surrender. Jesus stands before Pilate, accused, mocked, misunderstood. And yet he doesn't defend himself. He doesn't grasp for power. He doesn't lash out. Matthew simply tells us that he gave no answer. This is not weakness. This is strength under control. This is trust in God that runs deeper than fear. We live in a world that teaches us to justify ourselves, to stick up for ourselves, to win arguments, to protect our image. But Jesus shows us another way. the way of humility, the courage to let go of needing to be right, the freedom of entrusting ourselves to God. C.S. Lewis defined humility as the God-given self-assurance which eliminates the need to prove to others the worth of who we are and the rightness of what we do. The God-given self-assurance which eliminates the need to prove to others the worth of who we are and the rightness of what we do. True humility is not about self-depreciation. Rather, it is a secure, outward-focused confidence that frees us from the need for validation. The secret of Jesus' humility was that he was secure and validated in and by the Father's love. He was certain of God's faithfulness. And so we could say that a good attitude for living our lives and to be able to live out of true humility is to live with the attitude that God loves us and will not fail us. That God loves us and will not fail us. To follow Jesus is to learn to be humble and to surrender. To place our lives, our reputations, and our futures in God's hands. Secondly, the pattern is of sacrificial love. As Jesus is mocked by the soldiers, crowned with thorns, and led to Golgotha, we see love that does not turn back. Even in agony, even when abandoned, Jesus trusts and so remains faithful. On the cross he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Words of deep anguish, yet still a prayer. Even in the darkness, Jesus reaches towards God. This is love that goes all the way. Love that does not depend on being appreciated or understood. This is love that gives itself for others. We often think of love as a feeling, but here love is costly. Love is a choice. Love is perseverance. To follow Jesus is to take up this same cross-shaped love. To forgive when it's hard. To serve when it's inconvenient. To remain faithful even when it hurts. C.S. Lewis experienced tragedy in his life early on when his mother died when he was just 8 or 9 years old. As a result of that loss, he wanted to avoid risking that level of pain and grief again. And so he closed his heart to protect himself, to keep himself safe from pain. He built a world around him which kept people at a distance. A world in which he was emotionally untouchable and unreachable. But he then wrote later in his book, The Four Loves, he wrote this. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. In the life of Jesus, we see God being vulnerable. So vulnerable that he suffers the worst possible betrayal, misunderstanding, denial, torture, suffering, and death. To love is to be vulnerable. Jesus gives us a pattern of sacrificial love. And thirdly, the pattern is a pattern of trust through suffering. At the moment of Jesus' death, something extraordinary happens. The curtain of the temple is torn in two. The earth shakes. A Roman soldier, an outsider as far as faith was concerned, declares, "Truly this was the Son of God." What had looked like defeat becomes salvation. What looked like the end becomes the beginning. This is the mystery of the heart of our faith. God brings life out of death. God brings hope out of despair. God brings resurrection out of the grave. And this becomes the pattern of our lives. We all face moments of suffering and of loss and of confusion. Times when God feels distant. Times when things fall apart. But the cross teaches us these are part of the story, but they are not the end of the story. C.S. Lewis, in his book The Problem of Pain, wrote this: "Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Lewis knew that suffering breaks through our complacency. That suffering wakes us up to spiritual reality. That suffering wakes us up to the possibility of living life deeply and abundantly. As he described his life of love with joy, it raises the possibility of us living a life that is a feast of love. In his book Surprised by Joy, he speaks of how joy can be found in the midst of pain, anguish and grief. To follow Jesus is to trust that even in our darkest moments, God is present and at work. That nothing is wasted. That everything belongs. That resurrection is coming. So what does this mean for us here and now? It means that we are called not just to admire and be grateful to Jesus, not to just worship him, but to follow Jesus. To live our lives according to the pattern of Jesus. It means we are called to live cross-shaped lives. Lives marked by humility rather than pride. Lives marked by sacrificial love rather than self-interest. Lives marked by trust rather than fear. This is not easy. It goes against our instincts. It challenges our culture. But it is the way of Jesus. And it is the way that leads to life. As we walk through Holy Week, we are not just remembering what happened, we are being invited into the story. Invited to stand with Jesus before Pilate and let go of our needs to prove ourselves. Invited to walk with Jesus to the cross and learn what true love looks like. Invited to wait in the silence of Holy Saturday and trust that God is still working. We are invited to share in the joy of resurrection life, now and in eternity. So today, as we wave our palms and sing our hosannas, let us also say, Lord, shape our lives according to yours. Teach us your way of humility, love and trust. Lead us through the cross and into resurrection life. Amen.